If you're tired of me starting every show telling you to buy the tickets, just buy the tickets, man. I know y'all getting tired of this shit.
Yo, you know I be going to work early, right? The other day I had to be there at 5 o'clock. So, you know, if you got to be to work at 5, you getting up at 3:45. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, like, cut on the TV at, like, 3:30 in the morning and you notice that, like, no channel actually is, like, on? It's, like, paid programming.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo.
All third-party shit.
Have you ever really watched the Peter Popoff Miracle Water commercials?
I've watched it for, like, one time I got jammed up on BET one night. Yo. At like 5 in the morning watching that shit. I watched this shit for about an hour and a half.
Dog.
Like, this man has to be stopped.
Hey, you can't turn.
You can't turn.
I watched it the other day for like 35 minutes.
Like, this man has to be stopped, Joe.
Yo, if y'all never seen it, he got free miracle spring water where you call and you get the anointing through the miracle water, and then miracles just start happening. And it's mad buck tooth niggas in the crowd that's all like, yeah, I took the miracle spring water, and next thing you know, I got a check for $52,000.
Like, no, no, he didn't. He did not. That didn't
happen. The lady was like, I took the anointing spring water, and the next day, my lights was back on, and I received a check for $7,000. I'm just like, where are these checks coming from exactly? People are getting checks. Like, who is the check coming from? Like, once you take the anointing from the miracles room.
Just finding money.
Just saying. The government got it. They got to spend it once they print it. That's just the way it go. We're watching Barrett Jackson auction. I was talking to one of my neighbors, older white dude. He bought a Maserati from Barrett Jackson. 2015 drop top Gran Turismo. Black with
nice.
Gorgeous. Black with black pipe, black with black seats with red piping, right? Drop top, 19-inch alloy wheels on it. The car had 27,000 miles on it. 2014. He got it from the auction for $31,000. I was like, shit.
You won.
Yeah. So I was just like, damn. And I've noticed, like, Barrett Jackson, you can pull off a nice little deal every now and then when you see the Barrett. Like, the bids don't be getting crazy when it's certain cars. And Barrett Jackson does more of, like, a, you know, mid to high level auction as opposed to Meekum, which is like, LaFerrari. Where can we say, let's start at $3 million for the LaFerrari. Whoever, like, that shit is crazy. Whereas, like, Barrett Jackson, you'll see a motherfucker have, like, a 2017 Hellcat, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Start and bid $28,000, and it get up to, like, $41,000, you know, like, you know. But he said he was telling me he beautiful Maserati Gran Turismo. I'm like, damn, I still want one of these motherfuckers. But he got it 27,000 miles for $31,000 from the auction. I'm like, damn, that's a good-ass deal. You know what I mean? But we're here. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I feel, you know why I feel better? Body's tickets.
Body motherfucking tickets. Body motherfucking tickets. You know what I'm saying?
Go to officialtrpe.com right now and get y'all tickets for the live show. It's us and Mona. You know what I'm saying? The dynamic trio that y'all love so much. Us and Mona. We got a bunch of podcast appearances coming up in the next few weeks or whatever. Be on the lookout for those.
Yeah, we definitely do.
We'll be sharing those on Patreon and on our social media so that y'all can find all of them, Jones. But the main thing is like, is this weekend, man. It's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We got an announcement about the signing party, network signing party that we're doing after the live show. We got an announcement about that coming soon, about, you know, some talent and some different things that we're doing with that, man. So just stay tuned, man. But the most important thing is, if you don't do nothing, buy your live show ticket.
Yeah. You know,
and let me count on y'all to sell out the live show. Yeah. It's only 300 tickets. We're at about 120, 130-ish tickets right now, whatever. Buy y'all tickets to the live show, man. Go to officialtrpe.com. Click the events tab. It's the first tab on the John now. Click the events tab.
Yeah, y'all was having trouble with that.
Y'all was having problems
with
that. I had to move it. I had to move the tab. Yeah. Are we the problem? I'm going to move the tab up.
Oh, it's us? All right,
man. So I moved the tab up. Y'all should be able to find y'all tickets even easier now. Go to officialtrpe.com or go to World Cafe Live box office or World Cafe Live website. Get y'all tickets for August 26th. Everybody's VIP. TRPE, Chad, Matt, Big Dan, Big Mona. Don't call me white girl.
Straight up.
Not to call her big, but she's big in stature. You know what I'm saying? One of the biggest podcasters, period, male or female, in the world right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely kicking ass.
Did I tell you I had a dream the other day with you in it? Pause.
No, that's filthy, big.
Yo, this shit was crazy. I was telling Lee, she was dying. I woke up like, man, what the fuck is going on? Me and you were riding down the street, right? To make it funny, we were in a Camaro. Okay. Not like a new one either. We were like in this old scumbag Camaro. And you was like...
A hit licks Camaro.
Yeah, that's the funniest part of it. You was like, yo, I'm about to pull over and go up in this mini mart. You want something? And I was like, no, I'm cool. And you went in and I was looking at my phone. I looked up. You was robbing the place. So you had a gun up at the dude at the mini mart. So I was like, oh, shit, if he robbing it, I do want something. So I... So I got out and came in. I was like, yeah, man, I didn't know you was robbing this joint. I want to get an ice cream sandwich. So I ran to the back to go get an ice cream sandwich. While I was doing that, you killed a clerk. So when you shot him, I was like, oh, come on, man. I was, we had the sandwich. Why the fuck you killed a nigga? So the next, I don't know how, but the next part of the dream, I was in L.A. because I was on the run from the murder. I'm like, let me get the fuck out of the city. Yeah. So I left and went to L.A., and I was in my room, and I was with a prostitute. You know how that ended.
Yeah.
I was with this big titty white prostitute. You know how that ended. And then I called room service for more towels because we fucked the towels up.
Yeah.
So when they brought the towels up, the maid brought the towels in, and it felt weird because the towel she had was blue. And I was like, yo, towels from the hotel be white. And she threw the towels and bust out the maid uniform. It was a cop. I was like, put your fucking hands up, nigga. And then I woke up.
What's the weirdest shit ever?
You know, I was telling me, I was like, yeah, you need to stop doing drugs. I was like, I ain't do nothing. I didn't take nothing. It was the weirdest fucking shit I ever had in my life. But you killed the clerk. I went on a run and they found me.
Old dog.
Yeah. And they found me in LA. But I don't know if they found you or not. But they
apparently I was good.
Apparently you were straight. My dumb ass left the city and got caught in LA. Stupid as shit. But, I got something I wanna throw out to you. See okay. How you feel about this. Do you know what happened over the last couple days?
No, I don't.
Cash Money versus Star Trek, part 647.
Oh, man.
Yo.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Nigga. So you didn't hear Travis Scott's new album?
I've heard three songs. I heard K-pop, I heard Meltdown, and I heard, I think, first song. I probably heard four songs.
Did you hear the song with Drake?
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah.
Several times.
Yeah, yeah. It's on.
It's on.
Drake in the song, if you haven't noticed, Travis Scott has a new album out. Tons of features. Tons of... Jules was like, I can't believe he got Beyonce on the show. And I'm like, nigga, I kid. It's Travis. Like, they ran out of quarter pounders, though, right? Travis Scott is a big
niggas
deal.
Niggas came for the posters. They took the posters off the wall. They like, oh, y'all ain't got no more for sale. Bet we just gonna take these.
We taking your motherfucking yads. Yeah. Straight up.
Yeah, he got Beyonce, Drake, Pharrell's on the album, funny enough. Sampha's on the album. Bunch of other people. It's like 20 features or whatever the hell that's on this album, man. One thing I will say before we get into this Cash Money versus Star Trek part 55,000.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Scott and Mike Dean as a unit, pause, as a production team, a duo, may be the best and most important producers in music right now. Excluding nobody. Their way that they approach making beats and how they can take something that usually is supposed to be very robust and just completely strip it down and still give you all of like the elemental effects and the additional sounds that you need in order for it to feel like a song rather than just like a poem or like just some, you know, some flat, you know, musical creation, man. It's very, very impressive. And they're, to their credit, like on like a Dr. Dre or a DJ Khaled level, their production is very crisp, very original as far as like you know their shit when you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And it always fucking bangs. No matter how high you turn the volume up, you don't lose that clarity in order to get the bass and those 808s and shit like that. And lyrical content and what the songs are about aside, just off of the three, four, five songs that I've heard, you cannot question their ear and eye for production about how they put these sonics together for these albums.
I'm going there. Travis Scott has figured out festival music better than any
Kanye.
Like, bruh, like, to where it's like, I heard the two songs, the three songs that I did there, I'm just like, yo, these joints gonna sound crazy live. Mm-hmm. Like, you can just hear all of that, like you say, that 808 and that, like, all it, that shit sounds crazy as fuck. They do a good.
Travis Scott and Mike Dean are like master.
I like the level Boss producers. Mustangs. I always like the nice Bosses. Yeah, the Bosses is good. I want a 71 Boss. But so on the song Meltdown, Drake is being Drake. Like I said, part 672 of OVO. I mean, Cash Money versus Star Trek. He says in the rap, what was the line? Hold on, because I don't want to mess it up. He says, I melt down the chains that I bought from your boss. Give a fuck about all that heritage shit. Since V not around, the members done hung up the Louis. They not even wearing that shit. And me and Jules talk about it. Jules is like, I never questioned Drake, man. Drake is that nigga. Y'all have etched it in stone. Drake is like one of them. He's top tier of everything. That nigga, Captain. If he melted down all that good Pharrell.
Millions of dollars in jewelry.
And I'm like, here's the thing. Would it be smart? No.
Would it be a fuck you?
Would it be everything that they absolute stand for? Fuck all of y'all? It's like, yeah. And I could see Drake doing some weird ass shit.
He's
like
the petty king.
He's the petty king. He said in the song, I plan to buy your most personal possessions when they up for auction. Truth be told, I think about it often. And I'm then, the petty king.
And then went and bought all of Pharrell, not only all of Pharrell's shit, a Tupac ring mm-hmm. went up for auction in New York City yesterday, which Drake happened to, I'm in New York City for 2 weeks. I got 7 shows, 3 at the Barclays, 4 at Madison Square Garden. I'm just hanging out, just kicking it. Mm-hmm. Me and the Wassas, me and Reps Up, OVO, we just kicking it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to this auction and pay $1 million for Tupac's ring.
Yeah, with a leather butcher cape on. Like, yeah.
He just fucking with people.
That nigga was walking around New York the other day in a Yankees jersey with a dog mask. Dog mask. Like just
doing whatever I want. Yeah. Just chilling, just kicking it.
How do you feel about the line? Are we here for this beef to continue?
I just want somebody to get slapped.
Yeah, yeah. So at this point, somebody got to get socked.
Yeah, I just want somebody to
Death
get slapped.
Death Row and Bad Boy would have none of this. Ugh. At this point, somebody got to get socked.
Big Jake and them niggas and Buntree and all them niggas, somebody would have died.
Yeah.
Eric Von Zipp that was hanging with Puffy and all of that shit.
Wolf.
Like
something would have happened.
Somebody would have got poked in the neck, something like that. Like, it would have been real action.
Write your mama address down before you got to drink this pee. Like, something would have went on. Like, it just... I can't believe that we're, like, not trying to be funny, the Cash Money Star Trek beef, it's entering its, like, 16th season.
Yeah.
This shit is like Law and Order at this point.
In about 4 more years, Adonis gonna have to make a rap. Like, if we, at the rate that we're going, Adonis and Pusha's son is gonna have to make raps against each other at this rate.
Yeah. Think about that, though. Virginia has been pulled into the beef. Drake's dad, Drake's mom, 40, Adonis. It's
Pusha's wife.
That's Virginia.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like.
Well, I thought you were saying the state of Virginia pulled into
her
the
name
shit
is Virginia. Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
But the state of Virginia got pulled in that shit too, where it was like allegedly Drake was like trying to tap in with some niggas from, you know, in and around Norfolk and Virginia Beach and all of that old shit. And niggas it was a recording that leaked and was like, nah, man, we ain't trying to say nothing because that shit gonna get crazy in the city. Like, and I'm just like, what is going on down there? Like, what's going on in Portsmouth? Fucking Virginia. Like, what the fuck is going on here? So, a lot of people have been affected, by this beef. A lot of people have benefited. Pushes has benefited to a certain degree, a lot of degree. Drake has benefited to a certain degree and shit like that because him getting his ass spanked, Adonis made him go back and refocus and come back and just bomb on niggas mm-hmm. on some, like, 94 Bad Boy shit and just release just the biggest records that we ever heard in rap history back to back to back to back to back, no pun intended.
Straight up.
And, with that being said, there needs to be some sort of a resolve, like, I think that at some point, Drake and Pusha T need to meet up and either shoot the fair one or agree to shut the fuck up about one
another. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because my thing is, like, what's your issue with Pharrell?
You platforming this nigga?
Yeah, but I mean, like...
That's all. You like, platforming this nigga?
I'm
That's
not all,
all
too sure Pharrell has made a music... I'm not all too sure Pharrell has played a chord since, like, Happy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, Pharrell is a legitimate fashion designer.
And everybody... Now. Here's the thing. Everybody loves Pharrell.
And he's not just... Like, Pharrell is doing watches, glasses, jewelry, rings. He's doing fucking... He's doing every fucking thing. So, I don't understand the... Like, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. And you know I'm a Drake fan. But, like, with the Nas shit, I can be a fan. And that was another thing that was big for me this week. I tried to explain to people. Two things can be right at the same time. And people have this thing where it's like, oh, I'm a fan, so that person is above reproach. No. I'm a fan and I'm a realist. You the fuck tripping, or that was bad.
Yeah.
You know the way they kind of, like, tore Drake apart for the chain with the 40 pitches I was going to get married? Like, this ain't the flex you think. Like, I'm going to keep it a buck. Buying Pharrell's forgotten about jewelry to burn it, to say it on, that's not really the flex that you think it is, if that's what that was. Because Pharrell didn't sell that jewelry because he's hurting.
Yeah, he sold the jewelry to show the black community, the hip-hop community, that we can do some elevated shit when we're exiting a certain phase and a stage of our lives. Right. Like, I'm going to do, like, Sotheby's auction. I'm going to do this shit like how the royal family does it when they get rid of family heirlooms.
Their brooches and their Fabergé eggs go for millions of dollars. Like, no, this is my motherfucking skateboard. This is my fucking, was it Sidekick?
My NERD pieces, the Oakleys with the fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, because Jacob has become a horology expert and one of the most important watchmakers in the world, like, bar none, to the point where that fucking billionaire watch that he makes is like a thing. Like, it's a cultural statement of, like, holy fucking shit.
Like straight up,
it,
like,
took 3 years to make that joint that Rick Ross just fucking
bro, had. Like, realistically, I was saying this shit to Jules. I'm like, Pharrell is as good as he's ever been. So Pharrell didn't sell this jewelry on some, like, oh man, I need to get, like Noriega can't do this with his Newport chain.
No.
You know what I'm saying? You're never going to see an auction for Ply's license plate.
They can't sell that shit on eBay.
Yeah.
They not going to beat the reserve on eBay.
Could you imagine a Sotheby's auction where the man got white gloves and he, like, coming to auction now is lot 192. This is Ply's iron in set in 10 karat white gold.
4 karat white gold. It's completely hollow. It's not as heavy as it looks.
It only weighs 38 grams.
No chain included. He elected to keep that.
Yeah, he elected to keep.
It's just the pendant or a paperweight, depending upon how you want to view it.
That nigga had an icy iron, man.
That nigga had a goon rosary.
Oh man, the icy iron is just forever hilarious. But this the point I'm making is niggas had terrible jewelry that nobody gives a fuck about. Pharrell's pieces hit eternally.
Yes.
So, and I was explaining to Jules, I'm like, yo, I don't think niggas really, because Pharrell is like one of those, like, quiet money niggas now, where it's one of those, if you don't know, you just don't know.
I saw Pharrell doing, not to cut you off, bro, I saw Pharrell doing an interview with, like, High Snobiety or something like that, or might have been Vogue, where he was in the Louis Vuitton studio and all of that shit, and they was working through designs. This nigga had on the yellowest yellow gold I ever seen in my life.
I'm about to go.
I'm like, that's 34 karat
I'm
gold?
I'm about to go a step past that. This nigga, the bull, it was a watchmaker from New York, and he was showing, a jeweler from New York, and he was showing high-end watches and shit. And he was like, yo, Pharrell is one of the best Richard Mills I've ever seen. This nigga had a sapphire case, RM50. Full factory set diamonds over top of the sapphire in the case. The band for the Richard Mille was a Cuban link. The dude was like, I've never seen it. Like, because you know the whole thing with Richard Mills is the sports bands. Mm-hmm. He had a Richard Mille with a solid gold Cuban link band. And he was just like, I don't even know what the fuck that. Because, like, I've never seen that. And then it was like, oh, yeah, that's a 101. And then they showed a picture of Pharrell. Who are you in the picture with?
Richard Mille.
Then I think Nori was like, he wanted to get a Richard Mill.
Pharrell called, and Pharrell Richard called Mill. Him. Yeah, Nori wanted to talk to you.
The Newport chain nigga. Yeah, all right. This is
Queensbridge, CNN.
Yeah.
War Report.
Yeah. Nigga called Richard Mill. Yeah. I got a sell for you. No, I mean, he my guy. No, he don't do that rap shit no more. He got the show, the big one on the show. Like, straight up.
The nigga with the big teeth on the top. You know,
yeah,
Nori.
Yeah. So it's like Pharrell ain't even close to fucked up. So you didn't buy this on some, like, you buying his distressed assets because he in a bad play. That's not that. On the flip side, you paid millions. You paid more than what he paid for this year. Sure. Way more. So it's like, already, this is one of those, like, all right, you down, you it's like a safety. Like, you just do nothing. You know what I'm saying? And then you melt it down, which all the value that you overpaid for
goes out the window.
Is gone. And now you in the song saying that in the 16th season of Cash Money versus Star Trek. And I'm just like, yo, man, you just do No Stylist 2 or something. Like, this.
We chronicled this on the show. I went through the full history of this shit. This shit literally started because Birdman didn't pay Pharrell and Chad for what happened to
him. What happened to that boy?
That, I was, like, in high school, I think. Like, I don't even, what year was that? Like, that shit was mad long ago.
Straight up, man.
We are still mad.
Yeah. Like,
then Birdman followed up with a fucking interview some years later talking about why Cash Money was a superior label. We do the most. We sell the most. We go on toe the most. Like,
toe the most.
We just do the most. Like, I ain't talking about none of that other shit, playboy.
No one would touch that. We going to tote the most. Tote the most.
So, like, how was, you
we
know.
We going to tote the most.
All these niggas' money come from everything but music, playboy. You know what I'm saying? We do the most.
Yo.
We sell the most. Can't nobody fuck with Tunchi.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He get $2 million for a feature. He get $1 million, I get $1 million.
Yeah.
Declared.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? So it's like all of these different, like, little points of, like, intersection and disrespect and this that people took offense to and all of that shit. None of it has anything to do with Drake.
No, like, no.
But here he is standing in the fire, holding the flag. He's the only one.
Who said that on a rap? Eminem. Little did I know I inherited a beef. You know what I'm saying? When he signed with Dr. Dre and shit. Like, you know.
Eminem had to stand off with Suge Knight behind signing with Dre.
What'd he say? He said, I watched and gritted my teeth when Dr. Dre told me, stay out of the Suge beef. He was like, that shit drove me crazy because he's all on TV, down talking to man who literally saved my life. Like, fuck it, I understand. Like, shit is the truth. And he said, like, Dr. Dre saved my life and I got to watch Suge talk crazy about this nigga every day. Like, I want to punch Suge in the fucking face. And Dre was like, yo, this ain't your beef. You know what I mean? Like, but that's how it go. You can inherit a beef. Like, that's like, not trying to be funny. If you got beef with somebody, it's kind of like, and you inherit it just by being proximity. That's the way it works. And it's kind of wild to see where the initial beef was with Pharrell and Stunna, which led to Pusha T. It wasn't even malice. Yeah. Malice was like, man, praise God. Like, I'm going to fuck over
Tony here. Just got 30 years. I don't want none of this.
Yeah.
I don't want none of this.
And Push took it to Stunna and then the Birdman and then they kind of got like Bugattis and Filthy Rich, and it was just like, fuck that light skin nigga. And that's where the shit is at. And it's just, it's going on 20 years of this shit. What happened to that boy was like 02.
We've reached the point.
No, 04. 04, 05, to some shit like that.
Years ago, regardless. Yeah. However you frame it, it's 20 years ago.
Yeah. And we're entering the seventh year of Drake and Push.
Yes.
Like, not trying to be funny. Drake, think about it. Push got a whole nother album from when he was dissing Drake on the other album. from when he was dissing him on the album before that.
They just got to fight, man. Just meet up and just fight, man. Meet up at Dumbo House or Soho House and just get it on. Yeah. 3 minutes.
And then to have all of this shit where Push is saying the things he's saying, and then Drake's doing. Remember, Drake was on the shot, like, I want to punch you in the fucking face, and, you know, all of this shit. I had the record. I was going to end his motherfucking life, but the old man told me don't do it, and, you know, then Jay Prince, oh, yeah, see, we don't roll around in the slot with them hogs. And it's just like, this is anything. This is literally.
And you got Pusha doing 37,000 interviews and basically like, I don't believe none of these niggas. Yeah. Like, I don't. I think they all pussy. Like, I don't believe none of these niggas. Like, I see these niggas. Like, I was in the elevator with Stunna and I asked him, "You good, nigga? You good?"
Yeah.
And what'd he do? Get off on his motherfucking floor. I'm just like, this nigga.
You didn't punch him in the back of the head. Bitch ass nigga. Yeah. Remember Players Club? You ain't punched like, that nigga in the
this
back.
This whole head. It's just weird to me where it's like, yo, y'all have very pronounced. There's a very pronounced issue that's been going on for 20 years now, yo. 20 fucking years. And nobody's got punched in the face or shot in the leg. It doesn't make a lot of
nobody
sense.
Nobody's been carjacked.
Like, are y'all orchestrating this? Is this right. Like, are y'all secretly friends?
It's like, given WWE. Like, you look up and you see The Rock and Stone Cold at Bankroll, and you're just like, what the fuck? Like, I thought y'all was arch enemies. Like, dead ass.
Oh, that's some TV shit.
Yeah.
Like, because it's like, where's the resolution here? Because y'all haven't even agreed to peacefully coexist. Like, I thought that the Cash Money Star Trek beef was over. When Wayne went to jail and then Pusha shouted him out, free that nigga Weezy, da 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 da. I was like, all right, cool, finally. That was in 08, 09.
Yeah, Wayne went to jail in right after Carter 3.
Right after Carter 3.
Sorry for the wait, 08, 09.
Yeah, 08, 09. So we thought this was over 14 years ago. Yeah. It's still not over, dog.
No. No.
Never will it stop.
Yeah. Oh, you home? Fuck that nigga. I just wanted him out so I could beat. Like, real shit.
It's a crazy ass beef, man. Like, it's very weird.
I've reached a point where I don't really care for beef rap. I like the subliminals. I like the line was cool, but it's just y'all two. Like, Drake makes subliminals all the time. You see they pulled up this past week, the whole shit with Jalen Brown. And it's just like, yeah, I remember Jules told me that. Like, we've been new. He was fucking around with Bernice Bogos.
I found out.
Jules put me on it.
3 days ago.
No, Jules, like, not trying to be funny. Like, you are deep in the internet, nigga. That nigga's like, he got nothing to do. So he deep in the internet, nigga. Like,
sub-basement of the internet.
Way down there. Like, Jules is the submersible levels of the internet, like
12,500 feet below the surface.
But he was talking about the whole he had been told me about Bernice Boogers, and so we had kind of knew the whole, you know, you fuck with a shooting guard, I'll have you course. Like, we've been knew all that shit, but it's like, yeah, those little Jones, that's what Drake do, because that's what Jay did, that's what Biggie did. Everything is a subliminal diss. There's nothing that's not a diss.
Yeah.
The Mad Rapper skits was hilarious to us. Big is like, you know that's Wu-Tang. And not, like, that's what it was.
It's all a diss.
It's all a diss.
Fuck all of you niggas.
Everything is a diss. Remember when Puff and Mace did Jealous Guy? That was a diss.
Yeah.
Everything is a diss. So I get it. But it's like, with y'all two, there has been an issue for so long. And for you to be with, like, what's the nigga who, the real street nigga from Toronto?
Oh, Chubbs.
No.
Baka.
Baka. Like, for you to be with Baka and this boy be with, what was Pushman and went down for all the shit?
Oh, Tony.
Tony, like.
Tony G.
For y'all to be around all these different people and it's just like, y'all just move around, go in and out, all this shit, like, nothing. It's given that it's either not a problem or y'all doing this shit for entertainment.
Yeah, and then on the song, Drake had the line at the end where he was like, "You lucky that Vogue was suing. I would have been in Paris with the Wassas." Like, and it's just like, all right, man.
What was you going to do in Paris?
Sock push off the runway. Like, what was supposed to go on here, man?
It's just gotten.
They've reached a stage where there's way more benefit in the reunion and them doing a record together or whatever, than it is to keep this bullshit-ass beef going where nobody's got shot.
No. Because truth be told, I don't even care. And I'm a fan of both. I don't care about the diss anymore. The beef, I just don't. Just drop good music, guys.
It's definitely the novelty of the beef is not really there, because it's like once Jay Prince makes you put the stick down, like, it's like, all right, where do we go from? Like, you can't really come back from that. But he's continued to keep.
I remember my homie, he's a real pusher. He was just like, I can't believe you went on there and was like, Push ain't put the best album out. Daytona better than all that shit this year. And I'm like, Daytona was a very cool thing.
It was a great EP.
But it's not a great album because it's only seven songs and half of it is dissing a nigga. When you drop an album and it's got seven tracks and the seven tracks are If You Know You Know, Fuck Drake, Santeria, Fuck Drake Again, Infrared, Fuck Drake Some More. It's like, this is
Fuck Drake and Chubbs.
This is a weird album, bro. Like, what the fuck you want from me? Like, the songs that weren't Fuck Drake records were pretty decent. If You Know You Know is a classic in my eyes.
Fuck Drake As Well, featuring Rick Ross.
No. What was the second song on there? These Are the Games We Play. That's a classic. Yeah. Santeria was everything. Those songs are great. But the rest of it is just like, what would Meek do? Infrared. It's just like, it's all Fuck Drake music. Then Drake hauls off and has the best summer of history. And it's just like, oh, I got some more. Fuck that nigga whole family. Like, I got some more.
You out here top of the charts.
You out here top of the charts after I said, fuck you. Watch this.
Your dad is a nut ass nigga.
Your dad is a fucking clown. Yeah. Your son deserves you to be in his life, bitch. It just got so weird. That's why 40 dying. Like, it was just crazy. And I'm tapped out of the beef shit at this point.
Yeah, it's not a very interesting beef, man. And like I said,
yeah.
And at this point, y'all would be better off just cutting a couple records together and just, you know, just letting bygones be bygones. The beef thing got so deep. Kanye and Push not even friends no more. Because Kanye was trying to be friends with Drake while Push was dissing Drake and stealing info from him. I'm just like, this is
Kanye,
a mess.
We went to the concert. Kanye did the show. Pussy, you got to be kidding me. I was just trying to be, you know, because, like, what the fuck? You know what? I'm out. I'm crazy again. Kanye out. Shit, wow. And I'm going to just keep it a buck. Drake's not going to release anything. He's not going to say anything, do anything that is even going to scratch the surface of what the fucking Adonis track was.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. And on the flip side, Push is not going to release anything that scathes as much as the story of Adidon.
Yeah.
Not Adonis. Drake's not releasing nothing to live up to it, and Push is not releasing anything to go past it.
Yeah.
So at this point,
Push won't even engage with Jim Jones right now because it's like, what am I going to say? I already cemented myself in the all-time annals of diss records. What can I say to Jim Jones that's going to supersede that? There is nothing. There's nothing you can say. So I'm just going to ignore him until this goes away.
Right. Because at the end of the day, Jim Jones, for what it's worth, and I like Jim Jones, but it's like Drake is one of them guys where if you throw mud, he don't get mud on him. Jim Jones, you could just go on YouTube and see Jim Jones mud. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
so Mendeecez had you in their car. True Life took your jewelry 32 times.
You ran out of the Rucker. Like, it's just shit all over. So you're not about to say anything that's going to have people like, oh.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. So we definitely need a sprinter.
Listen, I'm thinking the same thing. I need a sprinter.
Yeah, definitely need one of those. All right. So enough with the music shit. I want to talk about this Peacock situation.
Yeah, you brought a topic to the table last night. You put it in the group chat or whatever, just talking about how Peacock is essentially hemorrhaging money. And it opened up a larger conversation about...
Y'all were getting it in. I woke up and that shit was like... Because I got You Saved This Chad, Lawyer Kevin Dunbar, and I saw 67. I'm just like, why?
It opened up a bigger conversation about streaming rights.
Mm-hmm.
Is it important? Who does it benefit and all of that shit. But let's just start with Peacock.
Yeah, so Peacock basically is for all you don't know, it's an NBC-backed streaming app, streaming network. You know, if you don't understand, there are everything has an app now. And
85 South has an app.
Yeah. One thing I've realized, though, is certain streaming apps are partnered with other streaming apps to where if you get their service, you get a bunch of other shit. Like Hulu, to me, is like the best joint.
Yeah, Hulu, you get Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN Plus.
ESPN, you get fucking A&E, Vice,
Stars,
everything. For Hulu, got it all. Like,
and then now Paramount Plus, which is they don't have their own app, but their service is basically through Prime. They partnered with Prime. So you add it on as an add-on for its own channel, but then you get Showtime for free now.
Yeah. It's basically, to me, the big three are the Netflix, Prime, and Hulu.
Yes.
And then you kind of pick and choose what you want in and around that. So long story short, Peacock, who is the backer of Kevin Hart's situation with the heart-to-heart, mm-hmm. they're the backer of, what else do they got?
Bel Air.
They just did the whole... Morris Chestnut and them.
Best Man
series, you know, as a television show, whatever.
They got all of the Law and Orders on there. They got Yellowstone is one of their properties.
Yeah, they got Peacock got some shit. Peacock hasn't made money in a year.
Yeah.
In fact, it's gotten so ridiculous. In the last quarter, their subscriptions actually went up. Their subscriptions went up from 22 million to 24 million. They gained 2 million subscribers, but in that same time, they lost $651 million. And I'm like, somebody, quick math.
Yeah, explain this to me like I'm 3 years old.
Yeah, explain, because the computers is not, the computers ain't even on.
You know what it probably is? Those 2 million users is probably some form of subsidy that's there, mm-hmm. where it's like they essentially are charging, but then it gets charged back in the form of like an Amex credit or something like that, where they're just trying to just add user base on. But as of right now, they're essentially paying for people to get on the service. Like I get Peacock for free. Through my Amex.
I got to do Amex. Yeah. It's funny because we both got the Amex credit. So I use mine for, she used hers for Peacock.
Yeah.
I use mine for Audible.
Yeah, I get Audible. Yeah.
Audible.
I get Audible and Peacock. And I think there's a free tier of Peacock and then you can pay the difference for the non-ad supported version, mm-hmm. which is like $5.30 a month. So I get it for free. I get the free membership and then I pay the $5.30 upgrade, and then that and Audible together clears my $20 a month credit or whatever for digital services.
From April to June, the subscriptions on Peacock went up from 22 million to 24 million. In that same time, they lost $651 million. Sadly, those losses have pretty much become par for the course. The NBC Universal streaming platform lost $704 million in the prior quarter and $467 million in quarter two of 2022. The company expects the peak losses from the streaming to the tune of $3 billion in 2023. The good thing for Comcast is they're soon going to come into $9 billion as they're selling their stake in Hulu to Disney. And I'm like, yo, to have some shit that loses $600 million in this quarter, $700 million the quarter before, $460 million in the quarter before that, and just be like, that's cool.
It's all good. We got $9
billion coming from the, you know, we selling a little joint, you know what I'm saying? My man.
You know, fuck them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We done with that shit. We over here with it. And the conversation itself opened up to us, you know, just talking about streaming rights and all of that. And it's like, where the fuck did Peacock go wrong? And where I think they went wrong is, it's like NBC and Universal, essentially NBC, Universal, and Comcast together, three companies bonded together, is essentially like a fucking Cablevision monopoly. There aren't really many other Cablevision providers out there. There's some small regional companies here and there, Spectrum, a couple other like little small regional joints, but for the most part, Xfinity is the number one cable provider in the world. That shit is owned by fucking Comcast Universal, NBC, or whatever the case may be. So with that in mind, y'all have a Cablevision monopoly, and y'all produce tons of fucking content through NBC, through Universal Television, through Universal Films, and all of that shit. Y'all would have been better served to, like you were doing before with Hulu, just using that as a place to park your digital versions of these TV shows and all of that shit. And just take licensing fees for a year here, 2 years here, 5 years here, blah, 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 6 months there, blah, 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 for all of these different properties, and just make money on shit that already made money for you. As opposed to having to do R&D, which is research and development, on building your own fucking platform and it being an albatross and costing you so much money. Now, what I will say is I have a conspiracy theory that they're essentially using Peacock as a place to park all their bad debt because they're already losing money over there. So they just like, oh yeah, we lost how much for Comcast? Yeah, park that on Peacock. Like, they're just shifting the fucking buck in order to clean the books on everything else to where it's like, oh, we're profitable here, 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 and here. Right. We're only losing money over here.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
And they're using it like a dumpster to park all of this fucking bad debt and all of this old shit. And eventually, once they sell their stake in Hulu, get that $9 billion coming in, blah, 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 they're at some point, Peacock is going to right-size itself. Right. I would imagine that. It has to turn around. If not, then they're just going to keep using it as like a place to just park bad debt.
Dog, the Super Mario's, the Mario and April 5 release made more than $500 million domestically and more than $1.3 billion at the worldwide box office. It almost single-handedly sent the quarter's theatrical revenue soaring 66% versus the same three-month period in 2022. Universal's Fast X also came out in that quarter, though that one disappointed. And I went and looked at it. They put the budget for Fast X was $350 million. It made $740 million in the box office.
That's a disappointment.
But think about it, though. Most of their movies make $1 billion
yeah.
against a $200 million budget. For y'all to almost double the budget and like barely double that yeah. bread. And I was saying the other day, I'm kind of at the point where I'm ready for Fast to just, I'm ready for the whole series.
We gotta pack it up.
And I saw this thing the other day. They're already gearing up to do Fast 11. And Vin Diesel said that he wants Robert Downey Jr. as the antagonist. And the chick, what's her name? Letty, the chick Rodriguez, she says she wants Matt Damon. And they said that the people are development characters for both of them. And I'm like, they put Matt Damon and Robert Downey Jr. in this joint. They're going to be back to a billion. And we're going to be on Fast 16, nigga.
Well, you know.
Can y'all stop going to
see like, this? Oh, we down? All right, I'll fix this whole shit right here.
I'm so over
Ben Affleck that. Coming up next, nigga.
Yeah, straight up. And if that don't work, you know we bringing Puffy out. It's just going to be dumb shit. Cardi B is the antagonist. Stupid shit.
The petty king from Toronto.
So the conversation that sparked, though, with the streaming, good or bad, where were the standpoints? Because I didn't go back to all the text messages. So the standpoint
is Kev essentially was saying, like, he feels like the streaming model is a bad business model. And I was like, I can't agree to that because essentially streaming, while imperfect, has saved the music industry in particular. Music industry-related revenue was like 78% came from streaming last year.
I was about to say, without streaming, I don't know if music...
Niggas had to... And the point that I made was, niggas had to go back and work at Shopping Bag. Like, yeah. It was over. Like, yeah. Niggas was going to have to go and find themselves in the form of real life and not through artistic expression without streaming because it was over. A Scud missile in the form of piracy hit the music industry and nobody had the answer. Steve Jobs actually had the answer and the music industry told him... Eat shit, yeah. Dumb tech motherfucker.
Yeah.
And
them corny ass jeans.
Yeah, them corny ass jeans yeah. and that black turtleneck yeah. and that brown belt. Get the fuck out of my office yeah. and take this little white iPod, whatever the fuck with your stupid yeah. ass. And he was trying to encourage them to go digital in like 98, 99.
I got the iPod. I'll pop you in the eye.
And he had to fix it. It's like, yo, we need to start converting. This, like, people no longer value, like, the hard product of buying music. We have to start converting to digital, blah, blah, blah. I got this whole fucking, this fucking store. We're going to call it the iTunes store. They can digitally shop, buy music, da, 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 and they can put it right here. I'll partner with y'all. I'll give y'all a back end, this and this and this. And the music industry told that nigga, fuck you, buddy. Yeah. Get the fuck out of my office. Yo, they all did.
We really used to go buy music.
Yes, every Tuesday.
Do you know how crazy of a concept? Like, remember I was like, motherfuckers don't want to leave the house to work?
Yeah.
Can you imagine leaving the house to get music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to go buy Harlem World from Sales.
Dog. I can remember buying Jada first album. I can remember buying Juvie 400 Degrees. I can remember buying The Block Is Hot. Yeah. I can dead ass remember buying Volume 3. I remember 3.
Being a manager at Total Sport and literally... I'm making like probably like $800 a week. I'm spending $150 a week on CDs.
You remember when you would be so hyped to where you, if you took the CD book out and it had the lyrics in the book,
yeah.
you'd be like, bet.
Learn this whole shit yeah. by next Tuesday.
Yeah. Dog, we used to really buy music. And the same goes for movies. Like, we used, like, my dad had that, you remember that joint, that little armoire, you open it up, yeah. and it'd be mad VHSs. You'd be like, all right, those the actions. That's all, that's Lethal Weapons, all that over there. These the comedies. You know, Who put Footloose over here with the goddamn action movie?
Ain't no action in Footloose. It's a system.
My pop used to be spazzing. Who put Beverly Hills Cop over there with this with the kid movies? Like, dad, that was a real thing.
That's PG-13, ain't for no kids.
That ain't no dog, that was a real thing. Yeah. The movies used to be sectioned. It, who the fuck did I see the other day? We was watching that that show, Married at First Sight.
Okay.
And they came back to their real cribs or whatever. And they came in, the chick was showing him her crib. Yo, this bitch had this wild ass DVD collection. And he was just like, damn, you got a lot of DVD. I was just like, yo, that's a, like, it like this bitch like robbed. So like, why do you have that many DVD?
Robbed
like,
the Arrows video.
Dog, you remember when motherfuckers used to be proud of their VHS and their DVDs?
My grandmother.
You remember when motherfuckers got so freaky, they had the DVD holder that, that did the big S?
That's how you know I'm serious about this shit.
You know I'm getting money. Real shit. Motherfuckers used to straight have VHS and DVD all over the place. I can remember when the Laserdisc first started. We couldn't understand it.
Laserdisc was this motherfucking big. That shit was bigger than a record.
Straight up. And it was just like, whoa, what do you mean the movies is on a disc? Do you remember when you found out that the PlayStation 2 could play DVDs?
Oh.
You're like, so I don't even got to buy a DVD player. I just get the PlayStation.
Get the station. I'm good, baby.
I remember my man had the remote for the PlayStation. Because, you know, we just use the controller. Yeah. He had the remote. He said, no, this is real cinema going on. Like, so, yeah, it did the same thing, though, for television and movies. And look at where we at now. Like how we just said, all of this shit where you got apps on top of apps and everything connected. And
we've gotten so down with the digital part of movie releases and stuff like that. If the shit flop in the movies this weekend, it's on digital,
it's out
on Tuesday. The opening box office was bad. Oh, bet. Catch this on. You can buy this at home for $19.99 today, nigga.
Yeah, we just try and get them shares up. Seriously, straight up.
So it's like, so having those economies of scale and those processes in place to be able to do that, because everything is digital and we can just service this shit to all these different digital mediums with the push of a button, is an advantage. Now, the streaming itself, the formula calculation specific to the music industry and the fucking the movie and television industry, it's a very imperfect system.
Mm-hmm.
The calculation is like a penny of a penny of a penny of it's like it's a mechanical royalty that compounds with the more viewership and the more buys and blah blah blah. And part of the actor's strike and the writer's strike right now is saying that their residual income calculation is wrong, and that you have this big boom of streaming, fucking DeLorean on here. You have this big boom of streaming. Mm. That has put all of this money back into Hollywood, and the talent that are creating these pieces of art are not benefiting from that. And then the same thing in the music industry. You got Taylor Swift going fucking back to Spotify every 8 months at this point, like, nah, I need a bump. Like, this shit ain't right. Even to the point where it's like a smart artist like her is going back to selling hard copy fucking vinyl of her albums. Selling 700,000 pieces of vinyl in a week, on a reissue, because she has, and her fans are her fans. Drake's fans, to the most part, are Drake fans. Beyonce fans are Beyonce fans for the most part. So the certain elite artists are always going to be able to get the maximum benefit out of the music industry. However,
look at Kendrick with Damn. When Kendrick released Damn, he did 650,000 first week. I want to say it was like half and half, like 350 digital, 300 hard copies.
Yeah.
But when he released Mr. Ridiculous and the Steppers, that shit, he did no hard copies. It was no physical. He did 325,000 digital. And it's just like, yeah, if he released a hard copy, you know, certain people have the leeway, certain people don't.
Exactly. So with that in mind, it's like, you know, the guy and the little guy, the guys and the people in between are like in any industry are the people that are getting marginalized. So when you look at like the music industry, you know, like I said, the Drakes, the Taylor Swifts, the Bad Bunnies and all of that, they're going to be fine because their deal structure is right to begin with before we even get to the streaming portion.
Yeah, like you said in
my
the last
revenue,
show.
My rev share on the deal itself is proper before we do anything.
You said it on the last show. Drake and Nicki Minaj and them are allowed to go and do 110s on lesser artists.
Yeah.
So my shit is all the way straight.
I'm all the way straight. I don't have no fucking complaints. This shit is great the way it is. But if y'all want to give me more money, I'll take it. But the people that are arguing, you know, for it and basically are the people that are, you know, in that in the middle, and then some of the, like, the smaller artists or whatever. But when you look at, like, the indie artists from fucking Detroit and, you know, Ohio and certain parts of New York and shit like that, these young boys, even somebody like Leaf Ward from Philly, these young boys is getting $80,000 a month, $140,000 a month from fucking Apple Music and Spotify payments and shit like that. I'm pretty sure they don't have a problem with the amounts of money that they making because they own 100% of the shit. You know what I'm saying?
Like, at the end of the day, you weren't going to get that if you were going the physical route.
You weren't.
You just weren't.
Because you couldn't reach as many people. The fact that it's digital and it's on this big-ass marketplace gives you an automatic inherent advantage that more people will be able to hear and see your shit. And you can literally pay for placement. Whereas before, the only placement you could pay for was fucking Walmart,
Best Buy,
mom and pop stores, shit like that. You could pay for preferential placing and shit like that. But it's like, if you was with a small distributor, you was only going where they distributed to. If you was like 36 Mafia or fucking Suave House or whatever, and you was partnered with Selecto Hits, they only had a network that went into like 13 states. That's as good as it fucking got. Tony Draper would have appreciated having a fucking big-ass platform like Apple Music or Spotify or Tidal to be able to put this shit where the whole world could see this shit?
Yeah, straight up.
At the click of a button, as opposed to like, nah, you gotta literally be in one of the 13 states that Selecto operates in order to be able to get a fucking Tila CD.
Yeah. Look at how many, like, down south legendary artists where their first album that came out to us is not their first album.
It's their eighth album. Yeah, like, this shit is their eighth album.
Yeah. Like, that's why Luda's album was called Back for the First Time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's my first John, but not really.
Not really.
I've been selling these Johns. T.I. had an album before that. You know, all of that shit. Juvie. It's just what it was.
By the time P all the way broke, he already had like six albums.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he even got into a point to be able to negotiate the type of deal that he did with Priority, coming off of $1 million artist deal offer at Interscope that he turned down because he like, yo, I feel like I'm worth more money. You know what I'm saying?
For as much as I love old school cars, I hate old school pickup trucks. They all just give me that chase nigga vibe. Like, we was talking about that deal. Like,
get lynched.
Yeah, I hate old school pickups.
Paint job is insane.
The paint job is nice, but it's like it. I don't really care for old school pickups. But yeah, no, the only thing I think streaming has done has made us as consumers more ridiculous in our expectation.
Yeah.
Because like you just said, back in the day, you had to wait until Tuesday. And it wasn't a bunch of shit on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was a nice amount, but it was like, it was only two or three albums coming out.
Yeah.
And you know, you had to wait for your man to drop. And there was no, oh, he just did a verse here, or he dropped some shit over here, or, you know, what Drake and him, what they call it, the shit Nike do now, with the releases out of nowhere.
The quick strikes.
Quick strike. Like, it wasn't like that. Yeah. We're just, oh, yeah, y'all up. Here y'all go. Right. It wasn't like that back in the day. Yeah. If your man say December 9th, you
better patiently wait.
Yeah, it's July. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get there. That's how it went. And it's funny because I told you, me and her was watching this show called The Rookie on Hulu. Mm-hmm. It's on ABC. And it's all of that. And we ripped through the first season, ripped through the second season, get through the third season, get to the fourth. We get to the fifth, and I'm just like, damn, where the sixth season?
Yeah.
And then you go look, and it's like, oh, they're filming the sixth season right now. It'll be out in the fall of this year. And I'm just like, so what? They ain't got, like, they can't just release one episode, like, as they fit? Like, what's
yeah, what's good?
And I had to think about it for myself, like, yo, we don't have to wait for, like, things anymore in television. No. Like, dead ass, I won't watch a show if it only got six episodes on, because it's like, I'm not even starting this shit till they three, four seasons in, then I can just watch all the shit.
Yeah, I want to watch it at my own leisure.
That's how we are now, and it made me think about, like, yo, I remember when The Wire was going on. Like, people don't even dig it, because a lot of people don't know, just because it's a lot of fake Wire fans out there. We don't got to get into that. You know, everybody's the one, I was there when it was, no, you wasn't. I promise you, you wasn't. When season 3 happened to The Wire, you know it was like 2 years before they actually came back with that. Like, because The Wire was almost off television.
Yeah, they were trying to figure out a way to make sense of this shit, the business part of it, to make it work.
But it was like, yo, you dead ass had to wait 2 years for the next season of The Wire. Because it was like, yo, we not dropping this fall. That's a real thing. That really happened. And now, if you take 2 years in between seasons of a television show,
you might as well not even bring it back.
We
found something else.
We found some other shit. Blue Bloods, nigga.
Swagger is very good on Apple television. Yeah,
found some other shit to watch. That's the way it go. Where it's like, it's kind of the same thing now with music, where it's like, unless you a big dog like a Kendrick, a J. Cole, a Future, you can't take that much time off. Did you see Joe Buttons the other day? It's funny, full circle, Pusha T, he was saying how he's declaring Jim Jones the winner in the battle because Push done took too long to respond. Yeah. So he like, no response is a loss. You out. And I'm thinking like, damn, when Jay did Takeover, that was the summer.
Yeah.
And when he did the initial Takeover, then the one with the Nas verse dropped on September 11th. Nas didn't respond until December.
Yeah, because Summer Jam is in June.
So we're talking about 6 months in the whole trajectory of that. And like now, if you don't respond in 3 weeks, you lost.
Yeah, it's an L.
You can't even respond now.
We don't even care what you gotta say.
Ain't that wild? So I think that's the only thing streaming has done. It's made us as people less impatient. Yeah. But as far as the artists and the creators and all of that shit, they're getting paid. Why you think everybody, the writer's strike is going on? Because the writers is like, yo, we see the money funneling into this motherfucker. Yeah.
Y'all, the budgets keep going up.
What you just said, Fast 9 budget was 260. Fast X was 350.
Yeah. Coming out of a pandemic. What the fuck is going on here?
What the fuck is going on? Y'all got an extra 100 mil to put into the budget of this film. Yeah. So
the whole thing with the streaming shit, and the reason why I'm pro streaming is there's a direct cash bottom line benefit that exists on all of these streaming networks. Even one like Peacock that's currently hemorrhaging money, eventually that shit is going to flip and they're going to start making a bunch of money. It's pretty much fucking inevitable. You know why? Because their parent company has a cable monopoly. Oh. So if y'all can't convert billions of people over, onboard 100 million out of your billions of people that have your fucking cable service, you failed. Yep. You faltered. We have a conversion rate on average, like we probably have somewhere, basically call it 10,000 people are listening to TRPE on a given week when we release a show on a regular feed. Mm-hmm. 10,000 people. We've successfully converted probably in total 1,000 people have converted to our Patreon at one point or another. Mm-hmm. Not all have stayed. Some accounts are on pause, some are dormant, some deleted their memberships, this, and this. But essentially, we've converted 10%. If NBC Universal can't convert 10% of their Cablevision fucking subscribers to app fucking people, whether it be in the form of subsidized fucking app memberships, whether it's like, oh, you have if you have our cable, you get the app for free for 6 months or whatever the fuck. If they can't convert 100 million motherfuckers, they failed.
Right.
It's an inevitability. And the thing is, Netflix is always going to get the first window and the benefit of the doubt from the consumers because they were first to market.
Yeah, Netflix is like industry standard.
They're the industry standard against all other fucking streaming networks are compared against. So it's like either you're going to rise to the level of Netflix or you're going to fucking falter and you're going to have an inferior product and we're just going to fucking go back to Netflix. Netflix is Teflon. Right. Netflix told motherfuckers y'all can't share passwords no more and niggas was like, all right, I guess I'll get my own account. I never thought it was going to come to this, but I'll get my own. Motherfuckers are not giving up Netflix.
Dog, the trans community was like, y'all better not bag Dave Chappelle. And they was like, fuck you, Dave getting 18 more specials. Yeah. All right, we'll watch him.
All right, man.
Fuck it.
We just put it like that. We had 2 marches.
Remember the whistleblower from in Netflix? They drove that bitch in the street.
Get your stupid ass out here.
Shut dumb ass.
If this was the 60s, we'd shoot you.
Netflix is definitely Teflon.
Teflon.
They've reached Teflon status a long time ago. That GTO was gorgeous. They've definitely reached Teflon status. Prime is up there just because, you know, we We can fuck what we lose. We go to space. This is, and you know what I'm saying?
On some level, it'll...
Oh, shit, they got the Nas out there.
Yeah. Yeah. On some level, it'll just become, if it's that bad...
Yeah, the 88 M3, that's definitely the Nas.
If it's that bad of an albatross of a company, it'll just become a place for us to park bad debt. We'll move some of the Amazon losses over to Prime. We'll do what need be done in order to make sense of this shit. Regardless, you know what I'm saying? Because we make so much money doing our main thing. This is just an added bonus.
Right.
We got fucking, how many people got Prime memberships? I would probably imagine at least 100, maybe 80 million people have Prime memberships or some shit like that. At $140 a year.
I saw somebody was like, Prime Day don't be priming like it used to. And it'd be like, well, yeah, you already have 12-foot iPhone chargers. There's not much more junk you really need. Man, that's a 69 Camaro SS is definitely all that, too.
I'm curious to know this now. How many Prime members does Amazon have?
Oh, that's got to be in the millions. I'm going to go as far as saying 20 million.
I think it's more. Dog. 200 million.
When I said,
I just said 80.
When I said 20, I'm like, I think I'm undershooting that drastically.
200 million, bro. Sales during Prime Day on Amazon reached 11.79 billion in 2021.
Oh, yeah, during the panorama? Yeah, because everybody was buying shit.
11 billion in a day. Over 200 million Prime members at $140 a year because they just raised the price last year. So let's go 200 times 140. Is that $28 billion a year in just Prime membership? That's before you niggas buy anything.
Before you buy.
You want to get this quick delivery? Yeah. You got to be able to pay for this shit, nigga.
Damn.
So they don't give a fuck with Prime fucking, you know what I'm saying?
That's why the movies are so bad. Like, you ever go on a joint where they got like the black joint on Prime, and it's a movie called "Don't Stop Pop That Pussy," the Loof Life Story? Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, that's why, because we don't give a fuck.
200 million Prime members is crazy.
Yeah, man. 200. Damn.
So yeah, so it's like, you know, there's direct benefits to streaming. I appreciate the digital revolution and being able to have access to all of this fucking content. Because it gives us more shit to talk about.
Think about how clean my wall look. And I've seen your setup. Like how clean. Right. You know how you would have them big ass cabinets with all that shit in them.
Entertainment center, all that bullshit.
You'd have a spiral with just disc on it. You like Ebony Hose 67. Yeah, take that. Like, you don't gotta do none of that dumbass shit no more. Dog, you could just go on there and it's on there.
But what
you can right now go into your phone and just look any movie you want and see what it's streaming on. And one of you got it.
You can literally, like, I still have cable because I'm a dickhead. I'm about to cut this shit off any day now. But it's like on my cable remote, I could just say, with the voice, John, open such and such on Netflix or on Prime or on Tubi or whatever the fuck through the cable vision.
Yeah.
And it'll open that shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's all these filters to fucking filtrate through all of this fucking content and where it's at and all of this old shit. Or they'll find it for you if you don't know.
Yo, I ain't gonna hold you at this point. I'm such a fire stick, boy. I'm like, I don't, like when I go to people's house and they got cable, I'm like, whoa, how are, like,
what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, because I'm so far removed from this shit. Just because where we at, like the accessibility, where it's just like, bro, you got people out here that will tap into the cable feed and straight just, here you go, dog, give me $50, man, take this shit. Like, you remember back in the day, like a chip box was like, whoa, where you get this? And it's like, you had to turn it on the right way, because if you didn't,
you'll get no channels. Not only do you not get the porn and the smokers, you don't get no channels. You don't cut this motherfucker on rec.
Yeah, man. I don't see how much the Nas go for.
So what I will say is about the imperfect part of streaming is they got to fix the calculation. They have to, because there's so much money coming in, and it's like, yo, it's almost like they're not putting the membership money in, like, the calculation. It's like, no, that's our shit. That's... That's for infrastructure. Don't even count that. Like, let's see how many eyeballs this generate that we'll calculate a penny of a penny of a penny for that shit.
How y'all calculating money that's in Switzerland? It ain't even in.
It ain't even here. Yeah. Like, this shit is in the Caymans, first and foremost. Y'all asking too many fucking questions.
Speaking of overseas, real quick before we get done with this one. Are you up on, like, the Mansouris?
Yes.
Have you seen the new Mansouri Phantom?
Yeah, Rick Ross got one.
Dog.
It's out of this world.
Dog. Dog.
Yeah, it's out of this world. And then he randomly had another Rolls got delivered to his house that was a Mansouri joint. And I'm just like.
The Mansouri Phantom. Me and Jules talking about that shit. That shit $1 million. And I'm just looking at it like, oh my God, yo. Like, it looked like a tank. Like, it's huge. And you know they wide body the shit and all of that shit, and it sits up a little higher. Like, that shit is incredible, man. And I was looking at Mansouri and just how they, like, came about and did all they shit, you know, Germany, and they got places all over the world, and they got dealerships in Poland and Russia and Iceland and India and China, and it's so much money going on out in the world, man. Like, unbelievable. That Mansouri, that's one of the nicest cars I've seen.
It says this car, the most supercar Blondie's website says this car isn't for everybody, partly because of the over-the-top design and partly because of the price. The flagship Rolls-Royce Phantom starts at around $460, while the EWB model, extended wheelbase model, starts at roughly $550.
Yeah, I was about to say,
the
like
Mansouri
600.
Model here, you'll see, costs $1 million. Yep, you read that right. Fucking $1 million, man.
When I was looking at it, they was gorgeous. And I'm like, I don't know if I need $1 million car, but I
sure wouldn't hurt to have one.
Yeah, it couldn't be big. I can't see it being bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it was funny because we was talking about the lottery. You know, the joint today is at 900 for the night. I remember I was telling you they both was big as shit.
Yeah.
But I was like, having that much money in that like that fast. I remember I was telling you, to me it's kind of scary or whatever. And Lee she was told me a jewel. She was like, if you had like that kind of money, do you think you could spend like $1 million in a day? I was like, in a day, I'd knock that shit off before noon. I'd be looking around like, damn, we ain't even get no lunch.
Wait, we got already $1 million. Man, this is crazy.
Let's see if Panera take a firm, because I done spent my bank and turn my debit card off. Like, what? I've been done spend $1 million and ain't even getting nothing to eat yet. Like,
right.
I still love those, man. The Continentals. Yeah. That's just a cool ass coupe forever.
Yeah, I remember when my man Mike Harris, that owned Total Sport, had first got one. That shit was like, this is in the early 2000s. He's just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody asked me that, what would be my top 10 cars? I'll do that on the show, like my top 10 cars of all time. I'm like a historical car nigga and shit, but
I can already tell y'all this for sure. The top of next year, I'm getting a G-Wagon and a GLE 63S. That's happening.
Yeah, it's a couple of Jones I want. Like, I get the money I want, especially with everything. Like, it's a couple old schools I know I want for sure. Like, a lot of the new shit I ain't really, like, super-duper crazy about. Yeah. It's little pieces I like, little things I like. Yeah. Like, the G-Wagon I like. I like the G-Wagons a lot. But I think that at a certain point, they hit that trendy, you know, kind of slutty, you know what I'm saying? Like, they definitely hit that. Like, the Urus, like, it definitely went in that boat.
Yeah, I'm not even, I still obviously still like the Urus, but I don't desire to own one. And for a while, I did. And I saw a path to getting one, especially they started to, like, come down dramatically in price because, you know, they were super taxing for them Jones.
They just have a slutty appeal to them. Yeah. And then the G-Wagon does, too. And then I think the G-Wagon's a fine automobile, but it definitely, like, I think there's more of a statement being made out of getting out of, like, a S580 or even a Maybach two-tone.
Yeah.
Than it is getting out of a G, because the G-Wagon just has like a slutty aura to it now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, them, like, them, perfect them example.
You know what I think makes more of a statement? Hopping out of a 911 Turbo than getting out of a G-Wagon.
Because you don't see them.
Because it's like, oh, you know. Like, it's like that kind of joint where, like, the G-Wagon is just, oh, you listen to the Lil Durk. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it, like, you're just in the mix of all the niggery shit. Whereas, like, if you jump out of a 911 Turbo S or a 911 Targa, it's just like, who put you on? Like, what's, and it's just, because that's a conversation starter.
For sure.
Where you see a chick, like, if you see a chick jumping out of a 911 Targa, it's just like, you see a chick hop out of a G-Wagon, it's just like, fuck with Tyrese. My man seen her with Brandon Graham. You know what I'm saying? Like, motherfucker just start making shit up, like, just on the strength. Whereas, like, it's certain cars to me, I guess it's just some car shit. Like, it just, it say a lot more when you in certain shit.
Yeah.
Like, my man was saying that shit. Like, he was like, he had the chance to get the C8, but it was like the Z06 wasn't out. And he was just like, a C7 Z06 say a lot more than a Stingray C8. It's just like, it's trendy. It's the new, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's like, you got a Z06, ZL3, C7. It's like, the and the stick shift, it's a man. With the 21s in the back and the 20s and a half in the front.
All
he's
set.
Like the real motherfuckers see it and just like, yeah. It's like that, John. So, it's just certain cars I just think like, like, if I had to get, like, something new, like, on some, like, yo, you can't do no old school shit.
Yeah.
It would be something along the lines of, like, a 911.
Gotcha.
Something. And I just make it now in a 911, where it's like, yeah. But, like, Dunbar was saying about the whole Richard Mille thing, it's like, it's not necessarily to watch. It's like, I couldn't bring the Rari in here, so I bought the Richard Mille.
Yeah, and I need a Richard Mille bed.
And that's kind of what the Lambo Ferrari, like, them cars are just like, you know, it's a Lambo dealership right over here in Wayne. Mm-hmm. And I was riding past it the other day. They had a sky blue Aventador sitting out front. And I'm just like, that shit is gorgeous. But it's just like, it's $750, and it's just like loud as fuck. Yeah. And it's just that I'm an asshole. So I bought this.
Yeah, waking the neighbors up.
Yeah. That's nice. I was looking at a ZL1 Corvette, the 1 year that they made them with the LS9 motors in them and shit. And the one joint I was watching, the dude took the LS9 motor out of that Corvette, and he put it in an old school vet. So he put it in like a 59 Corvette. John was nasty as fuck. You know, it's the only supercharger Chevy ever made.
Yeah.
The ZL9 motor. Like, I mean, the LS9 motor. It's the only time they ever did a supercharger. And it's crazy to think, like, for all the shit they did with the Corvette, they only did a supercharger once for like a special edition.
Right. John.
Like, all of their engines, ain't none of them turbocharged, supercharged, none of that shit. I like Corvettes. Corvettes are cool as fuck to me.
Hell yeah.
Like if I, like, when I do my top 10, Corvettes is without a shadow of a doubt in there. Cause I like the 63 split window. I like the 58. I like the fucking 67. I like the fucking 72, the Stingray from that year that John Chris Tucker had in the first Rush Hour. Like, Corvettes have just always
been American muscle.
Yeah, it's just always been a cool ass sports car. You know what the best selling car is of all time? The best-selling car of all time has more units sold than any other car in the world.
Toyota Camry.
Woo, you close. The Corolla.
Oh, shit.
50 million.
Damn.
Yeah. And it was funny because I was reading this shit where the guy was saying how, like, everybody with cars gets into the game and it's just like, I want to go the fastest, or I want to have the best this, or I want to have the best that. And, you know, Toyota and them, they figured it out where it was just, like, economy. It's way more people barely making it than it is people buying LaFerraris.
Yeah.
That's just reality.
$300 notes popping.
Oh, $270 if you're really, really nice with your credit. Seriously. 50 million Corollas have been sold.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy. Think about that. 50 million of them at $17,000 a pop. Some good eating.
Yeah. Enough to bake biscuits for the projects.
You know what I'm saying? Straight up. That's just like, them 911s, man, they're just nasty. Fucking flat six engines in them and shit. And it's light as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing in the car. Sickening. But I got nothing else for this. We just talking. You got anything else you want to throw out?
Hey, man, get your tickets.
Chloe is just determined. Get down.
Can't say it enough. Get your tickets. TRP weekend is vastly approaching. We are now 4 weeks away. 4 weeks. Started this shit, we was like 13 weeks out. We're now 4 weeks away. This joint is is pulling up on us faster than ever. Go to officialtrpe.com, hit the events tab. You can get all of your tickets right there on, you know, right on the same, from the same website, whatever. It's different sites for the brunch and after party tickets versus the live show tickets or whatever, because that's powered through World Cafe Live's ticketing system. Shout out to 14th and Market, our sponsor, our partner, the people that empower us to do what we need to do and put on these great productions for y'all. And I just hope that y'all appreciate the effort and everything that we're trying to put together as much as we, you know, are enjoying doing so and, you know, creating this interactive community in and around TRPE that expands past us just talking into these microphones and y'all receiving this content and, you know, us really, you know, becoming a community and interacting with one another. So that's the biggest part of all of this.
Straight up. One last thing with cars. Are you into any of like the cars by like region?
What you mean? Like the Dunks? And
so like you got the Dunks in Florida. You got like the Swangin' with the old school Caddies with the poke outs and down in Texas. You got like the 63 and the 64 Impala on some West Coast shit. Are you into any of that type shit?
Not as much as I, like when I was a kid, I loved lowriders and shit.
I always said like if I had money just on some shit, I would get like a 64 Impala, yeah, or maybe like a 70 Monte Carlo or something like, yeah, that. Sort of like, remember the joint Denzel drove in Training, yes, Day?
I loved it. Like shit like that, like I loved
that. Was a I think that was a 71 or a 72. Yeah. But like the 70, 71 Monte Carlos, the El Camino shit. Like I always said, I would get like something in that, yeah, range if I had it.
I was watching, I fell down a most expensivest rabbit hole yesterday. I was watching some of the latest episodes. 2 Chainz was on there with Too Short, and they were with, I forget the name of the company, but it was like a group of Mexican guys that have a lowrider restoration company or whatever like that. These motherfuckers was building $200,000 lowriders.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Jones, where it's like the fucking the undercarriage is all engraved and custom, dog, and chromed out and this like crazy shit.
Counts Customs. I was watching the joint. The bull was on there. I'm pretty sure it's the same bull, but they were showing they had a yellow, gold, and green. Yellow, orange, gold, and green lowrider, and the bull did like custom paint engraving throughout the whole fucking car, and it was like, yeah, that shit $260,000, yeah, and it was just like, yo, it looks so fucking nasty, and everything was chrome in the engine, right, the trunk, all of the air kits for the bounce and shit, yeah, was chrome. They did that shit gorgeously, so it was like, yeah, them Jones, they get costly as fuck when you really really getting into it. You know, you basically got to redo the whole car, like, exactly, under it and shit for all of that bouncing and shit.
Yeah, you basically starting with a fuck, you know, you stripping, whatever you're buying, you're stripping it down to essentially like a shell where it's like, we just got just the fucking, mm-hmm, car. Maybe we can keep the seats and then, you know, go over them with some new cushions, whatever. But it's like, for the most part, they are completely reconstructing that car top to bottom.
Yeah, but I would definitely do some shit where I had like, almost like a museum for like cars, where it's like, yeah, a lot of this shit I don't even drive. I just kind of got it and like I start them, I tinker with them, take them out maybe, but it's like it ain't like I'm putting these bitches on the highway or doing no crazy, yeah, ass shit like that. The
definitely,
especially when you talk about like collector shit. Like if you talk about like a 67 GTO or like a 70 SS 454, yeah, Chevelle, like you just not ripping and running in them Jones. I saw, yeah, a dude, he did a resto mod on a Chevelle, a 70 Chevelle. He spent like $150,000 completely upgrading everything. Damn. To where he had like modern brakes, modern suspension, air conditioning. Because, you know, all of that shit didn't happen.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, they had to basically go in and basically like certain cars didn't even have like modern day radiators and shit. They had to go and redo it. And, yeah, it's just like, I don't know about all of that. But it's like, because, you know, it's a whole different thing from like a resto mod as opposed to like a restoration,
yeah,
where you basically bring it back to its original state. But then you got people that go and they like change a bunch of shit. So it's like, that's a whole different ball game you get into. I didn't even know it was going to be lightning and all that crazy shit.
I keep seeing out the corner of my eye. I'm like,
but I'm not really into the Dunk shit. Like, I guess just
because
I'm
geeky as fuck.
Yeah, like, I guess I'm just like too much of a up here nigga. The And the swanging shit, I don't really, like, I never was into that shit. Even when it was popping, like, in culture, I was never really, like, you know what I'm saying? But somebody had asked me that recently, like, yo, I want you to do a top 10 car list on the show. And I'm like, yeah, I'd have to really sit and think about it. I know for sure the Corvette. The Corvette, the S-Class, Mercedes, you know what I mean? The 911, like, it's just certain shit that I just know is going to be in there. And, you know, the, I keep it a buck with you. It's probably going to be like regular shit. And, like, you know, I just respect certain shit a lot more than most people, but I got nothing else. We out. We'll be back. Question time in a couple days.
Yeah. I'll put the post up for the questions right after these episodes. So right. Be on the lookout for that. People have already been sending me questions before.
I told you I got the joint about the cars the other day.
Yeah, people have already been sending me questions already, but leave them in the comments when we put this post up, man. Other than that, get your tickets. OfficialTRPE.com, World Cafe Live box office, and then we also have the remaining TRPE tickets available on Eventbrite. You can just go on there, search TRPE Weekend WK Indy, and you can find that right on there also. So
we out.
Peace.